You let him sit in the sun, huh? You don't care about your brother, huh? We have to look after each other, yeah? If we see, you know, I mean, why do I see that, huh? That he's sitting in the sun? Why are the brothers, his brothers are not seeing that, huh? And it is, yeah, we know, you know, the sun is quite hot here, yeah? So we have to look after each other. Actually, it is one of our tasks, yeah? Yeah? Help each other, look after each other. Yeah? When somebody gets sick, you know, we have to look after the person who gets sick. Yeah? If somebody needs something, yeah, we help him. Yeah? We are a community. Yeah? We are a community of monks and lay people who come and practice here. Yeah? And we are so fortunate. We are really so fortunate. When you look at us, yeah? I mean, we have a very nice place, yeah? We have a very nice monastery, a little haven, yeah, where we can retreat. Yeah. We are looked very well after the lay people. Yeah, I mean, we have ample of food every day, even though there are only a few people, a few supporters coming in the morning. We still have so much food, yeah, much more food than we actually need. We have clothes, yeah, that we can put, you know, that we can use, you know, to make jivons and sankatis, and sabons. Hmm? We have everything, yeah? So we have all these four necessities. The necessity, you know, having a kutia, a place to stay. The necessity, you know, having food, you know. The necessity of having medicine. And the necessity of having cloth. All the necessities that a monk needs. We have so much of it. You're so fortunate, huh? Even though, you know, there are most of the time, you know, only the three or eight lay supporters are coming, we still have lots of food. And then once in a while, like today, I mean, the sala is full of people. Huh? The car park is full, there hardly, you know, there is no more place, you know, for car to park, yeah? I mean, sometimes it is like this. And we are really well looked after. And it is due to the generosity of the Thai people. Yeah? I mean, think about, we have a monastery in the Western world. I mean, it will be much, much more difficult. Huh? I mean, living in Thailand, it's fortunate for us. Yeah? It is really fortunate. And we should be really grateful, yeah? And this is something, you know, sometimes we lack this gratefulness, huh? Or the gratitude. Hmm? We lack the gratitude. Huh? We lack the gratitude to be here because all these things, you know, that bother us day in, day out, yeah, these few things that bother us, yeah, don't let us look, you know, at the big picture. When you look at the generosity of the Thais, eh? I mean, just a week ago, you know, there was the cremation of Ajahn Suchai, the second abbot of Wat Pa Phantat. I mean, how many people come? More. I assume there were more than 20,000 people. It was really cramped. It was really packed. Yeah? And the donation on this just one day, you know, was 19 million baht, over 19 million baht. And the generosity, you know, of the Thai people, you know, that knows no bounds. And we are welcome here. Yeah? Nobody says, yeah, you are Westerner, you should go out, you should live in your own country. No, we are welcome here, and we are looked after here. And we are even fortunate that, you know, this pandemic that hit most of the world, you know, most harshly, you know, the Western world, I mean, you know, just passed by without even affecting us. So, I mean, we are really fortunate, and we should really, yeah, be grateful for this opportunity that is given to us. But, you know, With this opportunity that is given to us, we have some obligations. And this obligation is to use the time wisely to practice. Huh? This is the obligation that, you know, all these things, all the four necessities are given by the lay people, and they expect from us that we practice. We practice the path, yeah? We are practicing the path, the fourth noble truth, yeah? That is comprised of sila, samadhi, and panya. That's, yeah? So we don't lack in anything, in any of the necessities, but we might lack, you know, in sati, yeah? One of the most important things in our eyes that sees what is going on. Sati is that what we need to develop and constantly train. Whatever we do, yeah? Be it, you know, be it repairing, we need sati, you know, being repairing this roof or that roof or this kuti or this water tank, you know, whatever needs to be repaired, yeah? But we need to have sati, yeah? We cannot just let go of sati. Sati is our mainstay, and we should train it. And we train it through samadhi, through the power of samadhi. And what is samadhi? Samadhi is concentration. And concentration we can use, you know, for the samatha, for the calm meditation. We can use the concentration on the word putto or on the breath going in and going out at the tip of the nose. And whenever the mind goes out, we should return back to our object. Yeah. Actually, you know, when you remember, I always say the moment we wake up in the morning, you know, we have to have our object present. The first thought is, where is my object of meditation? Yeah? Where is my Buddha? Or where is the breath? And then continually stay on the breath and noticing when the mind goes off. Yeah? We cannot help that the mind goes out. But what we can do the moment we notice that the mind goes out, we return back to the object of meditation, be it the Buddha or be it the breath. Yeah? And don't worry where the mind goes. Oh, why does it go now? Why does it go in that? Why is this memory coming up? No, these are the wrong questions. Just return back to the breath. Yeah? Just notice the mind went out, you know. Maybe it went out for a long time, you know, and we didn't notice it. Yeah. Doesn't matter. We need, you know, the moment we notice it. Yeah? And that's what is sati. Huh? That's why we need sati, to be able to notice that the mind has gone off the meditation object. Huh? Not just dilly-dallying around. Yeah? Noticing the mind has gone off. Okay, what is my task? The task is so simple, yeah? Returning to the Buddha or returning to the breath, yeah? Or when we do contemplation of the body, then return to the object of contemplation. But for the contemplation that we do, you know, mostly, you know, I mean, it is either the contemplation of pain or investigation of pain, or it is the body contemplation. And with body contemplation, we have also one object, yeah? With pain, we have one object that we investigate. With body investigation, we have also one object, be it the body as its whole or be it a part of the body. And we stick to it for 40 minutes or for 1 hour or for 2 hours, how long we have set our mind, yeah? Now I'm going to sit and meditate. Now I'm sitting or doing meditation or contemplation, and I will stick, you know, with the Buddha or with the breath, you know, for the next hour, at least for the next hour. If you stay longer, that is fine. But we cannot stay 1 second shorter, yeah? In order to be able, you know, to curb in the mind, yeah? To curb in the restlessness that is constantly bothering us. Yeah? Oh yeah, I sit long enough. Yeah, it is long enough. No, no. Have I sit 1 hour or whatever I determine? We should use this factor of determination. I'm going to sit for 1 hour. I do contemplation for 1 hour. Or I do samadhi for 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours, whatever. And then we should keep to our promise, yeah? Or we should keep to our determination, otherwise our determination becomes useless, yeah? Then we just sit 5 minutes, you know, and the mind gets restless, then we get up, and yeah, then we do walking meditation. After 10 minutes, so the mind gets restless, and then we go sitting, or we do this, or do that. Ah, today is not a good day, you know, I mean, let's do something else, yeah? No. Our determination should be, yeah, 1 hour, yeah? And this is the minimum for us as monks, yeah? Actually, it should be 2 hours or 3 hours. What did Lungda Mahabho say? You know, I mean, real meditation starts with 3 hours, yeah? Not with 45 minutes. 3 hours, yeah? No matter if it is walking or sitting meditation. If you can't sit for 3 hours, yeah? Not yet, yeah? Then walk for 3 hours, yeah? Well, what is hindering you? The kilesas are hindering you. And this is something that we actually have to fight. We have to fight the power, yeah? We have to get in line, yeah? I mean, just like the reggae song, yeah? Get up, stand up for your rights. We have the right, you know, to samadhi, yeah? And everybody who comes, yeah? The kilesas who come and bother us, you know, I mean, they are just kicked out, yeah? Or we are not interested in them. Let them stand in front of the closed door, yeah? The closed door of our heart. Yeah? Don't let them come into our heart and don't let them come and disturb us. Yeah? That is the most important thing. Yeah? I mean, being fixed, being determined, now for the next hour or for the next 2 hours, I will stick to the Buddha and then I do nothing else in the Buddha. Yeah? Or I will stick with the breath and I will stick for the next 2 hours with the breath. If you want to change in the next session, you know, from Buddha to the breath, that is fine. But within the session, we should not change. We should not change the object of concentration. Because otherwise, you know, we will never be able to concentrate very deeply. Hmm? Is it understood? Huh? And don't get disturbed by all these thoughts or memories, these strange memories. Or sometimes it is nimitta, sometimes it is visions. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, don't pay any interest to it. See, you know, there's a vision, let's go back to the Buddha. Or there's a nimitta, let's go back to the Buddha. Don't ask what it is, you know, what's the meaning of this? What is the purpose of this? Or why did it come up? No, just go back to the Buddha, or just go back to the breath, or just go back to the object of contemplation. Yeah, that's it. What is so difficult about it? I mean, the instructions are so clearly, they're so easy, but they're so easy that we forget it, yeah? I mean, if something is complex, you know, yeah? I mean, we are always incited by, you know, things that are complex, yeah? I mean, we want to solve the most complex problems, yeah? But the simple things we can't do, yeah? How can we solve complex problems when we can't do the most simple thing? Yeah? Just returning back to the breath. Yeah? Thinking about this, thinking about that. Yes, I need to do this. Yeah? And with this thinking, we create the future and we create the past. With our thinking and with our memories, we create the future, we create this whole world. Yeah? And when you really drop into samadhi, when there is no more thoughts and when there is no more memories coming up, I mean, there's no future, there's no past, there's no... There's just this happiness or peacefulness or stillness or whatever you experience. And what I said this morning to the Thais, or was it yesterday, maybe? I don't remember. I mean, the one problem that always, you know, is coming to bother us, the moment we get a little bit quiet, the moment we get a little bit of happiness, then... Instead of staying with our object of meditation, we switch to the object of the feeling, of this happiness. Ah, it's so nice, it's so nice, it's so nice. And then after a few minutes, this feeling is gone. Huh? And then we forget, and then we are getting frustrated. Why is this feeling gone? Because all feelings are anicca, are impermanent. Yeah? They appear and disappear. Yeah? But what did this, you know, what was the cause for this feeling? The cause for this feeling was our constant concentration on the Buddha or on the breath. Yeah? We forget that in that moment because we feel so sorry. Why has it gone? It was such a nice feeling. Oh, maybe it was such a nice dream. No, let's re-dream it, yeah? No. When we do our work, yeah, that's why I also use the simile of digging a hole. As long as we dig, the hole will appear. And the deeper the hole is, the less we will notice of our surrounding world. And the less we will be bothered by all the things. Eh? We know when we go deep underneath the earth, you know, I mean, it is completely quiet. Yeah? When we come up, you know, and when we see, you know, and there's all these sights and all these sounds. Eh? But when we are deep enough in the hole, you know, I mean, there are no sights and there is no sound. Yeah? So we are not bothered by anything. So if we dig our hole, you know, if we stay with the Buddha or if we stay with the breath, I mean, sooner or later the hole will appear or samadhi will appear. Huh? Don't ask the question, why is it not coming? Why is it not coming? Because I'm expecting it because I'm looking for the hole that was there yesterday. I didn't dig it today. I was just looking, I was just sitting down, oh, where's the hole, where's the hole, where's the hole? And then we waste 1 hour of meditation looking for a hole that had... Huh? I mean, each time we sit down for meditation, we have to dig. Hmm? And this digging is nothing else than returning to the Buddha or returning to the breath or returning to our object of contemplation. That is the work. It is so simple. It is so easy to describe. I don't know what else to say about it. The difficulties lies within, you know, the practice of bringing the mind back. Because the mind is clever, you know, the kilesas are clever and they entice us with this and they entice us with that. They they have such a sweet voice, a honey voice, you know, and say, oh yeah, you've done your practice very well, you know, I mean, now you can take a break, yeah. And we listen to it. Instead, you know, instead of saying, no, where's my Buddha, where's my object of meditation? And once we are calm, once we are in samadhi, and once we see the peacefulness or the happiness that comes through samadhi, that comes through quelling all these thoughts and all these memories, yeah, when there is no more memories, when there is no more thoughts, you know, it's just peacefulness, yeah. And it comes through, you know, constantly returning until the mind knows it cannot go out because our sati has grown so much that it instantly sees every intention to go out and curbs it in. And then we can go into samadhi and then we see, you know, I mean, actually we have everything that we need. Everything, you know, is there. All what we were looking for all our life, for the happiness, for the peacefulness, It's there in our heart. And we are not lonely, yeah? Even if there's no person around us for 200 kilometers, yeah? We are not lonely. Yeah? We are one with all. Yeah? And we are not afraid of anything. Because there are no memories coming up. There's no thoughts are coming up. So when we come out of this samadhi, we have to. In the beginning, we have to make a mental note. That is what it is like. That was samadhi. That was, yeah. And when we come out, you know, we feel rested and energized, yeah. And always, you know, this is, you know, I mean, this moment, you know, I was in samadhi, I really did not need anything. I was completely satisfied, completely contented. Just to realize the difference when we come out of samadhi, where we need this, where we need that, where we are not happy about this, where we are not happy about that, where we are constantly pushed around by the kilesas, yeah, who constantly try, you know, to seduce us in doing this or doing that, you know, because they are never happy, yeah. Because once we followed the kilesa and did this, you know, I mean, then they want something else, and then they want something else, and there's no end of this wanting. But when we realized, when we went into samadhi for a certain amount of time, not for a second, yeah, I mean, it should be at least for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, then when we come out, we realize, I mean, actually in this state, yeah, in this state of samadhi, we were completely contented, we were completely satisfied, we didn't need anything. When we come out, oh, it's so hot, oh, it's so cold, you know, I mean, oh, I'm not feeling comfortable, I'm hungry, or this, or that, yeah? But just a moment before, we are completely contented, we didn't want anything. And then we come out, we want, yeah? So the desire, you know, the desire that instantly comes, you know, when we leave our concentration aside, yeah, when we start to think about this and think about that, I mean, our desire instantly springs up. And then, you know, I mean, when you see this coming up, then reflect about it. I mean, just a moment ago, I was completely satisfied, I didn't need anything, and now I come out, you know, of samadhi and I need all these things, huh? Huh? Really? Just a moment ago I didn't need anything, now I need all these things? Doesn't it make you think? Huh? Doesn't it make you wonder? And that is why we do have to reflect in the beginning of our practice, we do have to reflect about it when we come out of samadhi. Yeah? If we ever get into samadhi, yeah, hopefully, we, yeah, after all these years of practice, we should at least get into samadhi for 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah. And then, you know, when we come out of samadhi and our mind is completely focused, our mind is completely rested and energized, then we go into contemplation, yeah. Contemplation of the body. Well, we can contemplate a lot of things. We can contemplate about death. We can contemplate about birth, yeah? We can contemplate about the life, you know, I mean, the life of the body, you know, being born, you know, growing up, getting, you know, staying on at mid-age for a while and then going to die, yeah? We can contemplate about this. Or we can contemplate about, you know, I mean, the driver in the car, yeah? I mean, who drives the body? When we sit, and that is another thing that we should reflect on, when we sit in samadhi, the body doesn't move. Doesn't move. Because the driver of the body is at peace. It doesn't want to move. And there we see, you know, the connection between the citta and the body. The citta is the prime mover of the body. But it's not only the prime mover of the body, it's also the prime mover for our thoughts and for our for our memories and for our desires. So when the prime mover, when the citta is completely satisfied and completely contented, doesn't want anything, the body doesn't move. And this is something that we also reflect when we come out of samadhi. The body didn't move. And now suddenly, you know, we scratch ourselves, you know, we feel the heat and we feel this and we feel that and we are not comfortable with this. Then we see, you know, I mean, the citta and the body are two different things. And this is something, it's a reflection that we should often do, especially when we come out of samadhi. Two kinds of reflections. Yeah? The first, just a minute ago, I was completely satisfied, completely contented, and now I'm dissatisfied. And the second thing is, you know, the body didn't move. There was no stretching going on. There was no moving the legs or moving this or moving that going on. The body was just sitting there just like a tree stump. Because the citta, you know, the driver or the driver of the car didn't move. When the driver of a car is asleep, you know, I mean, the car doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go left or right or straight or front or, you know, backward. Yeah? And that is something, you know, we have to realize, and that is one of the contemplations that we can do. Yeah? We can see, you know, that the citta and the body are two different things. And this is the third fetter, you know, that binds us to the realms of birth and death. Yeah? Remember this, yeah? So this is something that we have to get straight. The driver of the body, the driver of the body is not the body, because the driver of a car is not the car. I mean, once we get out of the car, we clearly see, you know, I mean, the driver just drives the car, yeah? Uses the car, just like the citta uses this body. It's a nice tool, it's a fantastic tool, yeah? But it has, you know, it has a lot of downsides to it, yeah? We constantly have to look after it, much more than we have to look after our car. And the problem is, you know, I mean, it grows up, you know, and it dies. Yeah, that is another thing. And it gives us all these unpleasant feelings. Yeah? All the time, all day long. Yeah, hungry is an unpleasant feeling. Being hot, you know, is an unpleasant feeling. Being too cold is an unpleasant feeling. All these unpleasant feelings that the body gives us. Yeah. This is something, you know, I mean, this is another contemplation, yeah? I mean, it is a wonderful and nice tool, and we can use it, you know, especially as monks, you know, or lay people who live the spiritual life, you know, to see it very clearly, yeah? It is a tool, and we can use this tool, yeah, just like the Lord Buddha said, yeah, to enter the Nibbana, or to go in the direction of Nibbana, or to enter the deathless. But we have to use this tool in the proper way, not to use the tool like the lay people do it in the world, you know, to find this pleasantness or find that happiness or that happiness, yeah, in going around the world or buying luxury goods or whatever. I mean, we've all been through this, you know, every one of us has been through this, has lived in the world. Most of us have worked, you know, I mean, have worked for their living, yeah? And we know how difficult it is. And that's also why we should be so grateful that this opportunity is given to us, yeah? To be able to live in a monastery, to be ordained as monks, you know, and to be taken care of by the lay people who have to do the same thing what we escaped from. They have to earn their living, and part of their earnings they give to us so that we can practice the spiritual life. Okay, is that understood? Huh? And it was a good ending. So, if you don't have any questions, then we stop it here. Yeah? Have any questions?